also want to just tell the church that today's when we end with a series on prayer. We're going to start talking about the body of Christ next month, as well as we're going to talk a little bit about this book coming through our family groups. It's called Save People. It's vital that we all try to get a copy, but more information will come through the family group leaders. We are working on really being a safe place to talk about all kind of issues that can come by. So we'll prepare and do a lot of reading and do that in our family groups as a way of going forward. Amen? But more information will come through with the family group leaders, and we'll talk through that. So without further ado, let me get on and talk about effective prayer. The word effective does not denote efficient. It denotes that something is happening in the spiritual realm that moves you, moves me, that change happens, and we can sense that God is at work. And yet, the more you stay as a Christian, sometimes there's a dull place that you can get to. You don't see the effectiveness of God, and it can just be a drudgery walk with God that you don't really connect with what's happening. So this morning, I pray that God can touch you and you can begin your journey of spiritual and effective prayer life. First, it makes our prayers effective. The story of Nehemiah in the Persian Empire, he's there as a refugee. He's with a king that could kill you for saying anything. But he's there, sitting there, taken captive, as we learned this morning. And he's there serving in the palace of the king. And people come from Jerusalem and tell him the condition of what's going on with how the temple is standing up. And he's so touched with that. It's in that context that we start talking about this. So when I had this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. That when Nehemiah heard about the condition of how the temple was in ruin and the wall, and he was told that he heard that, and that triggered a sense of mourning and fasting. He was so in tune with what was going on that something needed to be done to restore that temple. But let's face it, he's a refugee. Let's face it, he has no rights now. Let's face it, he works for the king who is dominant. And the Bible says there that he wept. In fact, for days I mourned. Let me ask you a question. What happens when you hear bad news in your life? What happens? Do you implode, get angry, agitated, upset? The Bible says that he actually mourned. You know, mourning is a place where your heart comes to when you're having so much pain and you have to let go. You cry. There's pain. And he got to that point. That for us to have effective prayer, we have to come to a place where we realize some of this stuff needs to be let go in our lives. It can be character. It can be issues at work. It can be home. It can be just life issues. You've got to come to a place where you think, God, I can no longer entertain this. So he mourned, fasted. How about that? That he went days without eating. How about that? Fasting. Why? Because he realized the circumstance I'm in, I cannot handle this. I'm a refugee, no rights. I'm serving a king that could kill me, but I have a desire to do something. I am going to mourn and then fast. But the first step, yes, it was painful. It was so sad. Yeah, you got to do that, but you cannot end there. Just in a morbid place of, oh, poor me, self-pity. No, now I'm going to fast for God to do something in my heart. So I asked the question, when is the last time you fasted? You know, you can live for many days without food. You know that. You will not die if you didn't. If you fasted from 8 o'clock to 8 o'clock the next day, you know that. Am I right? You're the doctor. I'm sure I'm not telling people there's something wrong here. Making sense here? You know, you'll survive. Unless you have illnesses that you're not supposed to fast. I understand that. There's medical conditions that you're not allowed to fast. You're supposed to. But you can do other things. Well, let's talk about those of us who can fast from food. When is the last time you did that? And I'm not putting guilt on you. I'm trying to ask you that question. How effective and how connected am I to the realities around me? Because probably you just don't use that weapon in your spiritual battle. The weapon you have, but you no longer use it. It is collecting dust. It needs to be brought out of the arsenal, polished up, and put in the weaponry ammunition so that you can use it again. When you fast, you begin to be humble. When you fast, you begin to connect to the realities around you. When you fast, you connect to the power of God can change this. Many of us are stuck in character issues because we've never fasted about that issue for a while. Now, I've done different fasts, and I wouldn't advise for people to do everything I've done. So I'm not going to talk about that. But I think that it's easy to fast from dinner to dinner. You can do that. You can do a 24-hour if you want. You will not die. It's difficult when the day you fast, the guy tells you, I want to buy you some lunch. It's on me. Don't take it. Don't take it. That for lunch did not come from God. The devil is testing you right there. Tell him, can you hold that lunch for tomorrow? How about that? He fasted and prayed. So you fast and pray. So you mourned, you fasted, and you're praying to God of heaven. Because you can sometimes to other gods, to the god of TV, to the god of walking too much, to the god of eating too much, to the god of all kind of gods we have around here, to the gods of shopping, to the gods of just doing nothing but being busy doing nothing. We got to go to the God of heaven. Then he said, Lord of heaven, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. It's not enough just to pray and fast. Are we also obeying God? Because you may be doing all that, but you're not obeying God. You're just doing what you want to do. Are you obeying God on a day-to-day basis? Are you walking at that? Is it something you work at in your home, in your house, in your workplace, in the streets, and whatever you do? Is that your lifestyle? Then your prayer begins to work here. Fasting is the influence of our self-will and invites the Holy Spirit to do more intense work in us. That's what fasting does. You've got to invite the Spirit to do more in your life. Not just willing yourself, I fasted 5 days so I can do it. Invite the Spirit to guide you on that journey of effective prayer. You may pray in the morning and continue praying and doing different things, but you've got to do this. We've got to combine this. Too many of us have not fasted. I want to encourage you to fast for whatever you want to do, to be fruitful, to do something at work. Whatever it is you're trying to do, fast, and God will show you how to do it. effective prayer is from our heart. Early in the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king in his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. That's how the presence of this king was dominant. You had to be happy just before him. And now he's saying, I never appeared before him sad. So the king asked me, why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled. Then I was terrified. You know, sometimes we look so sad, but we're not sick. We're spiritually troubled. We walk around, I like to call it dead man walking. People look at your eyes and there's no flicker of life, of God is within. There is a sense of death, like a sin that is drowning us, slowly but surely. Like a sense of lack of hope. And we just walk around wondering, what happened to my faith? You may be troubled. Then I was terrified, but I replied, long live the king, how can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. This is treason right here. You can die for saying that. I just overcame that place, and you're going to say that in front of me, and yet because he's been fasting and praying, he can say it. He can say it because he's trusting in God, not in himself. He can say it because he's not afraid of death anymore. He's ready. So what is scaring you? See, a lot of the things that scare us is because we haven't prayed and put them before God. Come to a place of, you know, God, let your will be done. He was able to say that. Then the king asked, well, how can I help you? With a prayer to God of heaven, he said a short prayer while that conversation was happening. I replied, if it pleases the king and if you are pleased with me, your servant sent me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. It stopped being about the ramifications of being in exile. It became about God. It is possible that you are held back by ramifications of the world. It's not about God for you, even though you're a disciple. It's possible that you're not coming to God if you're visiting because you're afraid of how will people see you once you decide to be a Christian. It is possible that you're not making changes because you're afraid, how will it be? You don't know how to look like. That's where God wants you to be so that you can come to him. He said that. In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than to have words without a heart. I think that we say all our prayers many times, but sometimes we are saying prayers like when we are just about to eat. I mean, how many of us really put heart in that prayer before you eat? God, I'm about to eat my hamburger. I'm praying that you bless it. How many of us really think about that? It's mundane. Now, I'm not going to try to make you guilty about how you pray about your food. Don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to say that don't carry that on to your other prayer life. You want to have a heart behind that. Well, let's face it. When you're watching a sport you like in America, how do you watch that sport? I didn't think we watched that sport watching Atlanta Hawks or Falcons. You remember when we watched the Falcons? Now, I say that some of you don't want to talk about it already because the pain is still there. The pain is still there. You just talk of the Falcons. Ah, we lost to those guys. How do you watch that game? You jump. I was watching that game. I've never seen passionate people like that. I was watching the people more than the game. What about your prayer life? I'm not saying it has to be animated and loud, but I'm just saying heart. I'm not saying you have to shout. I'm just saying it has to have a heart, a deep connection to something that you feel that this is what I need to do. That happens two ways. That one, you let God speak to you and you relate to what's going on. Another thing, that you desire to have that conversation, so God begins to walk in you. He could do that. He spoke before the king and he could pray in his heart and he was clear that God was going to do this. You know, one of the things you need to understand is that our hearts drift very easily. The Bible says the heart is deceitful beyond cure. Who can understand it? And it is tasted from time to time. We can get very logical, very rational, and all kind of things with the heart. Let the Word of God help you with that. Then you begin to connect what's going on. I believe if we prayed with our hearts in the right place, it'll change everything. So I ask you again, where is your heart today? Is it connected to what you're trying to do? To prayer? Effective prayer keeps us grounded. So there's a lot that's coming your way, but you have to be grounded. The Bible says, yeah, but when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, heard about of our plan, they scoffed contemptuously. What are you doing? Are you rebelling against the king? They asked. I replied, the God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall. But you have no share, legal right, or historic claim in Jerusalem. Look at what happened there. He's prayed. He's been given the permission. Gone ahead. Now he's there. And you think because I prayed, everything goes away. No, he gets there. And Sanballat and his buddies are telling him, you cannot succeed. Why does he say this? He says, he replied, the God of heaven. He's grounded. He's grounded to God now. He figures this is all by God's grace that I've come this far. So he's not shaking anymore. He's grounded. He knows it's by God's grace. We are servants of God. We're going to start rebuilding this place and you have nothing to do with it. That's not arrogance. He's grounded. He's finally figured that it takes God to do anything. I know you know that here. Do you know it here? I know you know that here. You've had this message many times. Do you know it here in your heart of hearts? Are you grounded? When you pray, do you quote scripture? Do you remember scriptures and say what God says about those scriptures? Do that and see how your heart calms down quickly. Do that and see how God shows you what you need to do. The biggest challenge about being grounded is because we forget where we've come from. We lack gratitude. In view of God's mercy, offer yourself as living sacrifice. You have to have a good understanding of where you're coming from and how God saw you through that time, and then you can connect to the place where you are right now. And change happens. It's effective. It doesn't happen overnight, but it's effective. Where have you come from? God will lead you where he wants you to be, but you have to talk to him daily to see where he wants you to go. The key is prayer. Some of us talk to God on Monday and hope that that prayer works the whole day, the whole week. Or we have great prayers maybe Sunday morning. So that's a prayer for the whole week. The whole week we're microwaving. I pray that you really have a good time with God. You can. How? Just like you have time to eat. It's the same way. Every day you have time to sit down to eat a meal. Same thing. You can sit down and pray. You can kneel. You can do anything. You can talk to God in the car. Instead of turning on the radio, pray. Now, it's not illegal to listen to radio. Don't get me wrong. You can do that. But pray some more as well as you go along. Does that make sense? Do things. Connect with God. Get a partner that you can pray with if you're really struggling. Write some things down that you want to pray about. That'll get you focused and centered. Pray that God will help you turn around. I pray as we move on to the body of Christ as our next theme, that we will not forget what we've talked about. Remain in the vine and God will use you powerfully. Amen? In finishing, I got to tell you what happened on the financial area here. All right. Our final missions is 87,816. Amen?